Found myself on a trip in Argentina this week, and what an interesting trip it was, because the very first moments of the trip, we began to learn that driving there is different than what it is here. There, the roads don't always have lanes. It's just whoever squeezes into whatever spot they need as they're moving forward. And as we found ourselves in the town in which we ministered in Luján, I discovered something. There are no stop signs, and there are very few lights, and there are no yield signs. There are intersections that you cross all the time, that cars come up to the intersection, and their instinct is to know to stop or not stop, to go or not go. And on several occasions, riding in this rather old car, we would find ourselves coming to an intersection, and I would look at the pastor. I said, "Pastor, how do you know whether you're supposed to go or not?" And he said, "Well, you just have to know." And he would go on through. Well, several occasions, cars were coming straight at us. And every time I say, "Lord, stop that car. Don't let that car hit us," because I'd hate to be in a hospital in Luján. I'd driven by the hospital. I don't want to be there. And so you can imagine, as at every intersection, there was this little moment where you have a little anxiety, where there's a potential for a collision. And it caused me to really be captured by what the Lord had been saying to my heart from the very first day to the very end of our trip out of the Bible. And it caused me to be captured by a collision that happens in our lives. It's not our vehicle, but it's in our spirit. It's in our walk. It's in our journey. And today I want to help you think about your own collision. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been involved in a collision? How many of you have been in a car wreck? Let me see your hand. You remember that wreck, don't you? You remember perhaps you didn't have any time to prepare. Perhaps you were literally just sitting there, all of a sudden somebody hit you. Maybe you had time to prepare like I did a few years ago when I got hit. I was at an intersection in which a car had tried to cross Peachtree Parkway, all the lanes with traffic coming, and he made it all the way to the last lane, the turn lane, and he got smashed. And I remember all the debris being there, and I sat there in my car and I said, "Lord, there's a chance I could get hit." And all of a sudden I look up and there's a van coming at me about 55 miles an hour, and I think I will get hit. And so I braced myself, which wasn't a good thing to do either, by the way, as everything in me got strained at that point. But after I got done and got out of the car, that collision reminded me about how life oftentimes happens to us. We get hit blindsided by something we didn't anticipate, or we get hit by something we could have anticipated, but we anticipate the wrong way, causes more pain. And what happens oftentimes is we fail to realize what God's really trying to teach us. Because sometimes there's a vital lesson in even the most challenging experiences we have. And today I want to take you to the vital lesson God taught me at every intersection in Luján, Argentina. And it's this very thing, that the climactic point of our life discovery, of what it is God has for all of us, comes at the point of total surrender and obedience to God. Because here's what you're going to see today. Today, as we open up God's Word, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 5, and as you turn there, here's what you're going to discover. Some men who were supposed experts in their field caught no fish. But when Jesus got involved, they had more fish than they could count. And what happens in this story is, here's a story where all of a sudden their expert opinion and their insight into things didn't get them anywhere, because they had already cleaned their nets and pushed their boats to shore. But when Jesus got involved, they came to this place where they got a hold of these concepts, that we surrender and we obey, and what happens is something transformational begins to happen inside of our life. And it is the most critical thing we discover in life, because what happens, it's against our nature to surrender. Who wants to say, "We'll do it any way you want"? Surrender, "Lord, whatever you have for me." Who wants to say, "Lord, I'll obey you no matter what"? And see, our nature is to say, "Well, you know, I'd kind of like to be in control of that." There were a couple of times I wanted to drive that car for the pastor. Because you know what I would have done? I'd have stopped at every intersection. But what would have happened if I'd stopped at every intersection? I'd have got hit from the back. Because they have this rhythm they drive in. And I don't know if it's the Argentine tango or what, but they know how to go and make it all happen. And I didn't see any wrecks the whole time I was there. And so it caused me to go, you know what? They know how to flow. They know how to move. And today we look at a place where all of a sudden for Peter, for James and John, for Andrew as well, they experience something where all of a sudden they surrender and they begin to obey, and God does an amazing thing in their life. And so I want to think for you to think about in your own life today. I want you to evaluate, how surrendered are you? how obedient are you? Because what you're going to discover is that as you dig in this passage, Jesus comes to make these disciples, these men whose lives will never be the same, in an experience as simple as fishing, and yet it transformed the way they lived their lives. So as we dig into it, let's begin reading, if we could, in Luke chapter 5 and in verse 1. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Galilee, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. When you read this, here's this amazing story of absolute transformation. Here are two people in one boat, two in another. And we know from Matthew 4 that Andrew was with them as well. But only in Luke 5 is Jesus address Simon. But as he addresses him, he says to him, after these moments of teaching, and you can imagine all the crowd is there, and Jesus wants to get a little perspective, so he says, "Push the boat out a little way." They get out in the water, and I don't have any doubt that Simon doesn't think he's going to be fishing anymore. Simon has already fished all night, and he ain't caught anything. So he probably thinks, "Hey, I'm just out here hanging out with this guy who sure has a big crowd following him, and I don't know what the crowd's about, but I want to get in on it." So he gets out in that water, and it's amazing because in this particular passage, there are three distinctive things that the Lord has written on my heart that I want you to make sure you don't miss as well. Because here's what you discover. There are lessons that we learn in the simplest of stories that have the potential to transform the way we live and how we operate. And listen carefully. If we learn today the importance of surrender and obedience, then we will have before us a pathway that perhaps we've never seen before. And if you're here today and perhaps you have not surrendered, for example, in obedience to being a part of the Lord's work, you need to take that step. If you're not surrendered in your heart to Christ, you need to take that step. You need to make sure that you surrender and watch what happens, because God will do something amazing in your life. But I want you to see, because in verse 5, it's interesting what Jesus said. Verse 4, Jesus makes a statement, "Put out in the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night, caught nothing, but I will do as you say and I'll let down the nets." You see, what you see first of all is so essential for us not to miss, and that is, Following Jesus challenges our thinking, because it didn't make any sense to him to do what he just asked him to do. What sense would it make if you are a professional fisherman for someone to say to you, "Hey, put your net back out, you're going to get blessed now"? Because you're the one who knows where the fish bite. You're the one who knows where the fish are up to something good. And what you discover here is that our thinking sometimes limits our capacity to grasp all that God wants to do in our lives. Our thinking sometimes becomes so little and it becomes minute compared to God's ultimate plan for our journey. And what you discover as you look at this passage is that we need to think through what it is that we allow our mind to wander into and make sure we come back to what it is God has for us. Because here we see Peter, his thinking is challenged. And here's what he says to Jesus. I'll paraphrase what I think he probably said. "Jesus, the reality is we've been doing this a long time. I mean, you're looking at guys. I mean, look at our hands. I mean, look at our suntan. We have been fishing a long time. And you're wanting us to go out and do this again?" And yet, no doubt in my mind, the challenge to his thinking, he said, what does he say? "We'll do as you say. We'll do as you ask." I want to ask you, when the Lord asks you to do something, is that your response? Or is your response, "Lord, I'm a professional fisherman. You can't expect me to do that." In other words, when the Lord asks you to witness to someone, share your faith with someone, do you pick up your nets and keep them in the boat? Or do you take your net and cast it on the other side? When the Lord asks you to forgive somebody who's hurt you, Do you keep your net in your boat, or do you let that net on the other side and say, Lord, I want to forgive that person? You see, what you're going to discover today is when we think the wrong way, we do the wrong thing. But when we think the right way, we discover how God wants to work in our life. So let's break this passage down. Let's grasp it. And hopefully you'll walk away going, you know what? I want to collide with surrender. I want to have a collision with obedience. Because I can tell you, for me, watching what happened in Luhan is the essence of this entire story. And it's the story I read every day from the day I got to Buenos Aires till the day I left. And in the airport on the way home, I watched the Lord seal together all the words of this passage in which we're looking at today. And it's a life skill that is so essential for each one of us, because if we don't surrender and if we don't obey, then we miss the greatest blessings, the greatest joy, and the greatest opportunities of our lives. So as we dig into it, I want to show you several things. The first thing we see, look if you would, again at verse 5. He says, Master, we worked all night, caught nothing, but I will do as you say, and I'll let down the nets. You see, obeying beyond our reasoning is critical. Because, you know, sometimes we reason things out. This happened to me on one particular night. We were having services each night in Argentina, and one particular night, the crowd was really light, and I was sitting there and I was reasoning. And my first thought was, I'm going to look around and see if anybody looks like they don't know the Lord. Because if they're not singing or they're not praying, maybe they don't know the Lord. So I looked around and I couldn't make any judgment of that. And I began to keep reasoning. I said, Lord, you know, you've given me this very specific passage. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? But I'm going to be preaching to people who have already met the Lord, I thought, because my reasoning was the process. And until the invitation time, I had only my human reasoning. But I did exactly what God had called me to do, and I preached that message. At the end of the message, several people came to know the Lord, and one lady was there, and she had been battling cancer. She walked up and said, My body is aching with cancer. And she said, I've lived with fear and all kinds of powerful feelings. She said, tonight, for the first time in my life, I felt peace. I felt peace. And you know what? As she told me those words, the translator translated it. And I hugged her neck real good, kissed her on the cheek, told her God was going to watch over and bless her. That lady walked away in peace. But I got to thinking about what I just shared with you. My reason, listen carefully. You never gauge by what God's up to by what you see. You allow the Spirit of the Lord to do what only He can do. And for Anna Maria, listen carefully. She may be battling cancer, but she has the great physician inside her heart and life that she didn't have before that night. And what you discover is, here is Peter in his reasoning. He's saying, Lord, we worked really hard, man. We did this deal. We accomplished what we're supposed to. We didn't catch any fish. Jesus said, put it out. Put that net out there. And my challenge for you is to remember, if you start reasoning, you'll miss the greatest opportunities. Don't reason your way through something. Trust Him to guide you. And watch what happens when you take that net and you cast it out again. Look on at verse 6. Notice what else you see. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. You see, what happened was the blessings began to flow beyond their imagination. I want you to think for a second what the professional fishermen were thinking when all of a sudden they looked, and when that net had been empty all night. Nothing had happened. They're in the same water. The only difference is they're in the spot Jesus told them to go. And listen carefully. When you go where Jesus wants you to go, you're going to get blessed beyond your imagination. He is going to bless you. Let me tell you, for me personally, I can see the tears rolling down the face of a lady named Romina, whose tears were weeping because 10 years ago her baby died. And she told me, I got angry with God 10 years ago. Then my mother died. Then my father died. And I had experienced death upon death upon death. And I was so angry. But she looked at me and said, tonight, I found peace. I found Jesus. And you see, what you and I must never forget is when we're doing what God's called us to do, there are blessings beyond our imagination. And if you're here, and listen carefully, if your net is in your boat, Put it back in the water. Put it back out there and let God use you again. If you have, listen carefully, if you have restricted your opportunity by saying, I'm a professional Christian, then here's what I'll say to you. Lose your profession and become a humble servant and discover what can happen when you put your net back out in the water. If you're here and you have allowed unforgiveness to be part of your boat and you float your boat with unforgiveness all the time, today I say to you, cast your net out into forgiveness and watch how cleansed you will be. Can you imagine? They couldn't even count the fish. And yet you and I, if we're not careful, will allow unforgiveness or anger or some other perspective in our own reasoning to cost us the best of life. You see, for every one of us, the message is very clear. It is time to fish again. But it's time to fish with surrender and obedience. Because that's when you catch the big ones. That's when you catch what God has for you. There's a third thing I want you to see. Look at verse 7, because what you'll notice what transpired. So that they signal, what Peter and Andrew, they signal to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And what I love about this is that when you involve others in the process of life discovery and transformation, they experience the miracle as well. I want you to imagine, for a second, what do you think James and John are thinking? Now, here's the question you got to ask. Jesus didn't ask James and John to take their boat out in the water. He didn't say, y'all bring it along as well. In this passage, we see that it's Peter out there. He pushes out with that. But I want to ask you a question. Don't you know James and John put their boat out their ways? Because this wasn't a normal guy. This was a guy that the throngs and crowds were following to hear what he had to say. And no doubt they were close enough that when Peter said, hey, come here, have some of these fish, they had to immediately think, man, we just got blessed. We experienced a miracle. And it tells you something. This is so essential for you to see. It's the very reason I had these folks testify who went to Argentina and all. We need to involve others in what we're about. We need to make sure they experience what we're about. We need to make sure they understand. You see, I want to tell you story after story to help you understand that when 17-year-old Gustavo came down the aisle and gave his heart to Christ, something, God had done something great in his life. When Santiago, a 21-year-old boy, gave his heart to Christ, I want you to understand that something powerful happened. When 12 children raised their hand at Bible school and said yes to Jesus, something happened. And the entire group got to experience a miracle. And what I'm saying to you is very important, and that is very, very important for us to realize our thinking is sometimes challenged. And you know what? You realize that our reasoning gets us in such trouble because we can analyze things and break things down. And yet the truth of the matter is, it is the supernatural work of a loving God who speaks to our hearts and lives and guides us in a particular way that opens the door for us to experience what it means to surrender and to obey. And my challenge for you today is think about your own life and ask yourself, have I surrendered? Have I expressed my willingness to obey? Because if you haven't, then you need to. Because what it'll do is you'll collide. You'll collide. All of a sudden, surrender and obedience will collide, and you'll be able to experience everything God intended for your life. That's exactly, listen, they never went back to what they did in life again. It was over. The Bible says it very clearly. They never, can you imagine? I mean, when do we see Peter and him on a boat again? We see him in a storm, don't we? I mean, they got back on a boat, but listen carefully. When they were on that boat and a storm blew in, they were not out fishing for fish. They were fishing for men. And even though fear took hold of them, interesting what you discover. If you look all the different times when on that water, there's an opportunity for fear. Opportunity to miss out in the best that God has for them. So first of all, lesson number one, that we got to be careful to make sure that we recognize that when Jesus gives us some instruction, it's going to challenge our thinking. May overwhelm us. But secondly, when we look at this passage, verse 8 and 9, we learn that when you start watching him work, it leads to amazement. Because here's what happens in these two verses. First of all, he's afraid. He's fearful because he's in the presence of God. But then he is amazed. Now, and remember this. Peter, James, and John in Matthew 17, they have this same awe, amazing experience with the transfiguration. You see that parallels their journey where they're amazed. And what you discover is, first of all, when he sees all the fish, he says, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. And what you discover, first of all, is that There is a point of conviction in his heart. In fact, when you look at it, it captured his heart. All of a sudden, Peter said, "Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm sinful." And listen carefully. None of us are worthy. None of us are worthy. If we believe our worthiness is the key to experiencing surrender and obedience, then we miss the message completely. It is the worthiness of Jesus that opens the door for our sinful lives to be transformed into a point of obedience and surrender. So he's captured by conviction. And I don't know if you're like me, but when you get convicted, it does something inside of you. And for me personally, I came away from an experience of spending a week in another land with a deep conviction. You know, the interesting thing I learned about those people, they don't want anything except to obey. I didn't meet a person that said, "Would you pray for me that I got a new car? Would you pray for me I got a new house? Would you pray for me I got some new clothes? Pray for me I got some new shoes?" I mean, I looked at some of those people and I realized their clothes were dirty, and I realized they probably couldn't even have a washing machine to wash them. I looked at and I saw in the eyes of the people that they had a desire to be obedient, and it exceeded everything else that they wanted in life. And when I look at this passage, I realize that there was a conviction that we all ought to walk away from when we have experiences like that, and that is, we don't need any more thing in life. We need the thing, which is obedience and surrender to guide our lives. There's another thing you see, though, but he was, first of all, he's captured by conviction. But then you'll notice it says that they were amazed. And this amazement is something that totally startles them. And they begin to respond by saying, you know, we're overwhelmed by what we see. And this amazement captured the way that they looked at things. It says that it seized him. In fact, when you look at it, the magnitude of the blessing overwhelmed him. He just got blown away by what transpired. I want to ask you, when's the last time you were blown away by God's blessing? I know for me, when I started looking at my Bible, and in my Bible, this is a travel Bible that I preach out of, but in my Bible are names of people who came to Christ. These are in Argentina, where I had the privilege of being able to connect into so many different kids' lives. This is a picture that a little child drew while we're sitting in church in one service in Argentina. And I looked through this Bible, and here are the names. Here are the names of people in Romania who came to Christ. You know, here are the names of people in the Ukraine and other places who came to Christ. And let me tell you something. I'm still amazed at the name of Jesus. Because what it'll do, it'll take somebody who never had an answer at all and give them the answer that changes their lives forever. But what you and I have to do as we look at this passage is we just have to make sure we look at what amazes us and ask ourselves, are we living out what God has called us to do in our lives? Are we amazed? There's a third thing you see in verses 10 and 11 as we wrap this message together. Because when you get to verses 10 and 11, you realize that there's something powerful that transpires. Look at it again. "And so James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon, and Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not fear, from now on you will be catching men.' And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him." You see, the third principle we must not miss is life is redirected when we follow his instructions. I mean, when we start listening to his instructions, we start hearing what it is God, life gets redirected. It takes us another pathway. And you know, it's interesting for me personally, how I thank God that we as a church have allowed God to direct our steps by way of instruction, to take the Great Commission and not believe it's somebody else's responsibility, but to see it as ours. You see, it would be so easy for us to sit in the comfort of our building and the sweetness of our fellowship and the passion of the hearts of those who sing, we could easily say, "This is so wonderful. This is so wonderful." In fact, the pastor in Argentina said, "I want to come to your church." And as he said that, I said, "Oh, I pray to God that he would see our people as surrendered and obedient, powerfully connected." And what you discover is that Jesus just gives Peter two very clear instructions. First of all, he said, "Do not fear." I want to ask you, do you realize how easy it is to fear? Be afraid of this, be afraid of that. Esther walked in the church building, 80 years old, first time ever in a church, 80, in Luján, Argentina. She came in, and she came there for a particular reason. Her 3-year-old granddaughter was so afraid of light that the child had been kept in darkness for 3 years. And she had been wondering, how do I find the place to rescue my grandchild from the darkness of the world that she's been captured in? She looked at me and said, my grandchild hates her parents. She hates me. She hates light. She said, but today I received the light. I experienced the light of Jesus. And she, with tears running down her face, Esther walked out of a church building with the answer to the darkness of her 3-year-old grandchild's life. And listen, we live in a dark age. We cannot fear. He said, do not fear. Listen carefully. If we live in fear, we'll never experience faith. If we let fear control us, here's what's happening. We'll keep our own boat to ourselves. We'll keep our nets to ourselves. We'll never go where God wants us to go. We'll never do what He wants us to do. And listen carefully. If you've had an experience in your past that causes you to go, I can't do this, I can't do that, why don't you get your net and cast it back out again and see what God can do? Because it's not about your ability. It's His supernatural enabling. He's the one who can take you and help you become something very vital for the kingdom. All you have to do is say, you know what? I'm taking my net back out again. And listen, you may not have caught something last time, but it's time to cast your net again. And the only reason you don't cast it is you get afraid. You allow fear to control you. Listen carefully. If you're looking for that next job, quit being intimidated by the fact that somebody didn't respond to your resume. Put it out there again. Don't allow the world to steal your opportunity. Don't allow something to subdue you from experiencing what God has for you. And don't take someone else not responding to your resume as rejection. Just realize that's not the place God wants you to be. And what happens is all of a sudden, you start not fearing, but living in faith. And that's exactly what Jesus does here, because fear is replaced with a new life mission. And it's amazing. When you let fear out of your life, when you move it out of your life, then all of a sudden you have a new purpose, a new mission, a new goal for your life. And when you let that happen, something powerful begins to happen inside of you. But if you live in fear, here's what happened. You keep your boat anchored. Listen carefully. You can't catch fish on the shore. That boat was made to float. Your life, your calling is made to move and to float out your life. And my challenge for you today is, listen carefully, surrender. Obey. Look what happens in verse 11. The Bible says that they put their boats up and they never did it again. Can you imagine? Everything they had ever known, they set aside. In fact, when you look at it, their perspective about the future was altered forever by Jesus just saying, you're no longer going to fish for fish. You're going to fish for men. And may it be said of us that we don't spend our lives fishing for fish. May it be said of us that we're fishing for men, that we're sending a message to someone that there is an answer to the world in which we live in. And listen carefully. This world is spinning chaotically with all kinds of thought processes. We live in a world of great chaos, but we are anchored to one who is absolutely the answer to everything this world will ever face, and His name is Jesus. And so what you discover is all of a sudden their perspective was altered, and they walked away, but they walked towards God's will. And when you think about that, you have to just realize that here's a place where God ultimately positioned them to experience the best of life. And today I want to challenge you to think about where you are on your journey. Think about what it would be like if you just said, I want to surrender. And when you look at those words, in fact, I gave the definition of those words at the end of this message that I haven't shared them yet. But when you look at surrender, when you look at the power of that particular word, it has to do with the whole idea of complete abandonment of our plans in recognition of His will. Complete abandonment. In other words, giving up completely. And what you discover is when you start surrendering that way, you start abandoning what you're pursuing. See, if you're sitting here today and you think you have the formula to find the right person to marry, the formula to find the right career, the formula to find the right house, the formula to have the right income, then what you're saying is, I've got this deal under control. And all of a sudden you read this passage, you realize here were guys who had an income, had a career, had a vocation, had a calling. And what happened? It all disappeared in a moment because they surrendered. And then when you look at obedience, and when I look at the word obedience, I come away with this idea of completely yielding our lives to a greater purpose. Or just saying, Lord, you have something more for me than just what I'm hanging on to. And listen carefully. If you could just walk out of church going, you know what? I am not going to hang on to that unforgiveness. I'm not going to hang on to that disappointment. I'm not going to hang on to that discouragement. I'm not going to hang on to those moments in which I'm so frustrated, I don't know which way to go. I'm going to forgive that person who caused me pain. I'm going to, all of a sudden, I'm going to set my spirit free. Listen, Peter went from being absolutely frustrated, catching no fish at all, to catching more fish than he ever could, and then realizing it was never about the fish. This story is not about the fish. This story is about surrender. This story is about obedience. They left those boats, and in fact, they probably walked by some other fishermen and said, hey, you can have all my stuff. You can have everything I've got. And let me tell you what Jesus is saying to every one of us today. Give me everything. Give me everything. Don't hang on to something. Don't hang on to some fear. Don't hang on to some frustration. Don't hang on to some unfaithful moment. Don't hang on to something that causes you to be depressed instead of directed. Don't hang on to something that causes you to be overwhelmed instead of blessed by His presence in your life. And my challenge to you today is just surrender and watch what Jesus will do. It's the greatest life skill, because when we surrender and obey, we discover that they collide together. And when they collide, something amazing happens. And thank God, I've been the witness to watch men and women from our church in many countries of the world, and in this city that we call Norcross in Atlanta, Georgia, where collision of surrender and obedience opened the door of great opportunity. And today, you have that opportunity to be able to surrender to Him. If God's calling on your life to do something special, to get involved in One Heart, to commit your heart to Jesus, whatever it is, this is the day to respond to Him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the power of Your Word. Thank You for how it speaks to our lives and moves us to surrender. I think about all the stories that You've written on my heart. People's life stories that I could never tell all the details of because it was too overwhelming. But to know that they surrendered and they found the answer. For Esther's granddaughter, Lord, I pray the darkness has already started to lift. For those who have given their heart to Christ, I pray, Lord, the walk of obedience has already begun. And for we and for us as a family, the One Heart family, Lord, may we be obedient as well to what You have for our lives. And I pray, Lord, You bless as we respond to You. If there's anyone here who needs to commit themselves to becoming a part of this fellowship, they need to surrender and obey, that they would do it today. If there's anyone here who's never given their heart to Christ, that they would take that step, that they would move towards You. And Lord, we trust You to do that. Move in our fellowship, and we'll praise You in Christ's name. Amen.